I'm so glad that my classic flameouts are preserved for all the world to hear. That's amazing. It's the beauty of digital editing and digital audio. Good morning to you. If it makes you laugh, it's totally worth it. I don't mind any type of self-deprecation for your benefit and for your entertainment. Plus, I can't help it. Sometimes, every now and then, including, believe this or not, I got a note from Babe Laufenberg, former Cowboys quarterback, longtime analyst on the Cowboys radio network. And he said that he frequently listens after road trips. He gets in his car and he listens on 105.3 The Fan as he's driving home from the airport. And or if he's driving from the actual site and doesn't, you know, needs a companion, doesn't have a quick trip, he'll listen to longer stretches of our show. And he asked me, so when do you tape? Or he said something like, you must tape large portions of the show. How do you do it? I didn't write back and say this. I essentially said, we don't have time to tape. By the time the games are done, we're on the air within, you know, minutes sometimes. But we don't have time with all the games that are going on and all the different audio elements. I don't have time to tape. But I could have said, if I taped, do you really think I would leave so many embarrassing moments in the tape because I make up words or I say the wrong thing or 8,422,000 podcasts, right? Or we need our corrections department because it's live radio and it takes on a mind of its own. So no, the show is not taped. And I think you could figure that out pretty easily. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's see if we can get through an hour without any major Amy gaffes. Chances are not high. At A-Law Radio.
I have faith.
Thank you, Pete. At A-Law Radio to find me online and also to find the After Hours Monday MVP poll. There are never enough slots in our poll for guys that deserve to be MVP candidates. That's the whole point. It's tough to narrow it down. We want you to go and check it out. You can also vote on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, where, I don't know, 15 minutes into the show, guy was already taking me to task for not talking about the Lions. We're 15 minutes into the show. Can you just give us a minute, please? There's a lot of football that happened in week number 11, including the game that you pointed to as the After Hours game of the week. By far, nearly half of our votes, and we got a ton of votes. We extended this poll, so it's our poll that got more votes than any other so far into week 11. I know excitement is building. And this was the previously undefeated Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills, who are one of the hottest teams in football. Now, this you know about the Chiefs. They don't blow teams out. We've been talking about this phenomenon for the last 2-3 weeks. I've been asking people, like our friend Amy Trask, why don't the Chiefs blow teams out? And what does that say to you? Well, they're just comfortable playing in these situations. I actually asked that of our guest, Sal Capaccio, from Bills Radio earlier as well, because it is pretty interesting. They can be 9-0. They cannot have lost since last Christmas, but they don't blow teams out the way the Lions do. And so 9 tight games for them this season. But if you look at their history against Buffalo, the last 4 games between these two teams, these two AFC powers, were decided by a single score. So you knew to buckle up. Did you know to expect a Patrick Mahomes interception on his first pass attempt? So he's under pressure. He's kind of falling forward, and he lofts the ball high over the head of his receiver, and it's picked off by Taylor Rapp. Boom. Just like that, Buffalo turns around and goes the other direction.
First and goal from the 3-yard line. Allen going to go under center here. Samuel on the right. Hollins on the left. Cook the lone setback. Handoff goes to Cook. Coming around the right side. Looking for the pylon. And he's in. James Cook with a 3-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen. And once again, the Bills cash in on a takeaway. Another 6 points here. Puts him up to 84 points scored off turnovers. That leads the league with an extra point to come.
A major weapon for the Bills. That's Chris Brown on their radio network. Yeah, when Mahomes turns the ball over, when the Chiefs turn the ball over, they just don't have that same margin for error because of all the losses on the offensive side of the football. And so they really can't afford to make that kind of mistake, especially when it whips the crowd into a frenzy on their very first defensive stop. So the James Cook touchdown puts the Bills in front, but they do miss the extra point, and so there's that piece. Kansas City is able to grab a lead early in the second quarter and really relying on Xavier Worthy, the rookie out of Texas, the speed effect with him. You can think you've got him corralled. Reminds me a little bit of Tyreek Hill and the element they had with Tyreek Hill. Now, Worthy's a different player, of course, but he's slippery. You think you've got him contained, and then all of a sudden he slips the coverage and he's somewhere else, and Mahomes finds him with the football, and they've been working on that connection. There actually was one deep ball that he got behind the defense that his second foot was just out of bounds. So his toe was out of bounds, and it didn't count, of course, as a completed catch. But that is the ability. He can get downfield quickly, and they're trying to reestablish that downfield component with Mahomes because of all the injuries. And they brought in DeAndre Hopkins. That helps. They want Xavier Worthy to be that piece too. So he has a 10-yard catch and run after a drive in which they were really using him in a variety of ways. But the answer for the Bills is a second touchdown drive with James Cook getting into the end zone again. Now, Josh Allen hit a couple of interceptions last week. He throws one this week, which gives the Chiefs a short field. And this is where I felt like it was the real toe-to-toe component in two teams, not just about the quarterbacks, not just about the offenses. What plays can the defenses make? Knowing, again, that there's just no margin for error. And if you do make mistakes, they're going to cost you.
Chiefs line up in a diamond to the left side of Mahomes. Third down and goal to go at the two. Chiefs down six. He looks at the diamond. Now he throws a yard deep into the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. Noah Gray peeled out of the diamond. And the Chiefs find diamonds in the diamond mine for a two-yard touchdown on third down and goal to go at the two.
Another lead change in that first half. There were, what, four lead changes in the first half? And then Buffalo was able to tack on a field goal before the break. And so they've got the 16-14 lead, four straight punts in the third quarter, of course. We're all revved up. We feel like this is going to be a shootout. And then, boom, four straight punts. So it's still a two-point lead for the Bills heading into the fourth quarter, and I love this drive from Buffalo. An 83-yard march, 6 minutes it takes off the clock. You want to know the best way to beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? Keep him on the sidelines. Bold calls is what I could see from this team and the offense, the toughness and the grit, and a new element. So not something we've seen this season yet for the Bills.
Six on the play clock. Shakir in motion right to left. Here's the snap. Blitz coming. Allen has to throw it. Wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Well, welcome to the end zone, Curtis Samuel. A 12-yard touchdown reception. His first as a Buffalo Bill.
I know Curtis hasn't had the, you know, amount of success that he's wanted in this offense so far, but he's been as consistent as possible. He works his tail off. I trust him implicitly. You know, I threw the ball and I got flipped upside down, and as I was getting up, I put my hands up because I knew he was going to score. Sometimes it's your day, and we're going to have to utilize him going forward because when he has the ball in his hands, he's very, very dangerous playmaker. And, you know, I just commend him for how hard he's been working and the composure that he's had throughout the entire season.
He ends up with five catches for 58 yards and that touchdown. And Allen did spot him. He was wide open. He found a big hole, a big pocket in the defense. And previously, Samuel was with Carolina, then Washington. His first touchdown with Buffalo and trying to find his role in the offense. It's after hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, next possession for the Chiefs, a major sense of urgency. You could feel it. Just more intensity. I wouldn't say it was hurry up necessarily, but moving the ball with purpose, if you will. And Noah Gray catches his second touchdown from Patrick Mahomes, which pulls the Chiefs within two. And then it's do or die there in the fourth quarter. And I don't want to say it's about who had the ball last, because I don't think that's true. Each team had empty possessions. Each team had giveaways. It was really about, again, taking advantage of the other team's mistakes. And in this final stretch here, you could see that do or die, and the crowd, of course, feeling it. The final Buffalo drive features three first downs, but the moment of truth is on a fourth and two. And you may remember earlier in the game, the Chiefs had a fourth down in which they pretended to go for it, only to try to draw the Bills defense off with a hard count. It didn't work. In this particular case, you've got Tony Romo, Jim Nance discussing whether or not this was a ploy to try to get the Chiefs to jump off sides, or if they're actually going to go for it here. And, well, you know, they were going for it, and this was another Josh Allen epic moment.
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
Chris Brown on Bills Radio. So about 2 minutes, 15 seconds to go, Josh Allen just takes charge. He's like a bull in a china shop. And like Derrick Henry, who wants to potentially step in front of him and take a hit? He likes the contact, but it was spinning, it was juking, it was muscle, it was pure force to get into the end zone from 26 yards out. It was a brilliant drive for the Bills, and they end up picking off Patrick Mahomes on the Chiefs' final possession, though at that point, they're down by 9. Sean McDermott was asked whether or not this game made a statement.
It's not a statement. It's the next game, and it's hard to win games, you know that. And to win 9 and to win against a team that's won back-to-back Super Bowls and coached by Andy Reid and quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes, it's always going to be tough. These games that we've played have always been close.
9-2 now for the Bills with 6 wins in a row. Had a chance to talk to Sal Capaccio, who's the sideline reporter for Bills Radio, and I asked him, when you think about this season, all the changes, the veterans that are other places, why is it coming together more quickly and maybe more seamlessly than what a lot of people expected?
Here's why, Amy, because the Bills have something that very few organizations have. The Chiefs have it. The Ravens have it. A couple others do. But so many organizations covet, and that is a ownership, a GM, and a head coach that are together, aligned, have the same philosophy and continuity between all of them. And what's happened here is Brandon Bean has had the opportunity, and I'll even say luxury, I guess, in some respect, over the last few years to not only draft and grab players for the present to win, but also the future and say, look, we don't have to have this guy play right now, but we could put him in our system. He'll develop. And look what's happening. They're banged up, but guys are stepping up all over the place. These aren't guys who are just walking in off the street. These are guys that the Bills have been developing that you didn't know about them on the practice squad, and nobody ever heard of their names. Guys like Jamarcus Ingram, who comes in and makes and plays fantastic a while back. Ryan Vandermark, who had to start at right tackle today. Ryan Vandermark had 74 snaps accounted in his entire NFL career. But yet he's been in the Bills organization for 3 years. Mm. These are guys they're developing. It's not actually so quickly. This group has still been together, but they haven't had the opportunity necessary to play these guys. And I think it's something that organizations covet, and the Buffalo Bills have it right now. Plus, let's be honest, they have Josh Allen, and that's a big reason why. When Josh Allen plays the way Josh Allen did today, you can beat any team.
We're always excited to have Sal Capaccio with us on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Off the Bills sideline today for a raucous atmosphere between Buffalo and Kansas City, one of the great AFC rivalries and certainly a terrific battle on Sunday. What was your perspective, Sal? 4th and 2 gets snapped for the Bills late in the game, and Josh Allen breaks ankles and coverage and ends up in the end zone for a 26-yard run.
Well, first of all, what are they going to do situation, right? Nobody kind of knew. Is he going to keep the offense in the field? Is he going to kick a field goal? Anybody who says that Sean McDermott's a conservative coach because he's from the defensive side of the ball hasn't been paying attention. He has not been that conservative over the last several years. Now, I would say that in some moments he can be conservative and too conservative, but all coaches have those moments. Sean McDermott's actually been pretty aggressive throughout the last several years, and especially in games like this against teams with high-powered offenses where he knows that he's going to have to, you know, make one more play. And when they kept the offense on the field, I applauded it because they could have kicked what we call the field goal of death, which is the field goal of death is, okay, you kick a field goal, you go up 5, what did it really matter? Because all it takes is Patrick Mahomes to go down and score 7, you still lose anyway. So he said, I'm going to let one of the best players in the league and our best player put the ball in his hands. Amy, you won't find many people who love their job more than me. I love being on the Buffalo Bills sidelines and being a part of the energy on the field as the broadcaster, and it's unbelievable. But I will tell you, this is my 11th year on the sidelines. There are very, very special moments that happen sometimes when it just becomes unbelievable to be a part of. That run was one of those moments I've been a part of. It was incredible. As he's running, and you kind of knew he was going to get to the end zone, the crescendo of the crowd in that stadium, I'm getting chills just talking to you about it. Like, you're talking to a kid here who grew up in Buffalo going to these games in this stadium, and now I'm on the field on the sidelines broadcasting these games. I know what it's like for those fans to be up and watch that, and I get to experience it, and today was one of those really special moments when that happened.
There are obviously some other really impressive moments for Josh Allen, finding Curtis Samuel for the touchdown. We also saw him extend plays. Just the way that they were able to move the ball. I know they had a few punts in there, especially in that third quarter where they started out with four straight punts between the two of them.
Yeah.
But they still had great success against a defense with the Chiefs that's championship caliber. Why did it work so well today?
Well, they converted third downs today. They were 9 of 15, 60%. That was a really big deal. And it wasn't like they were in really easy third down situations either. There were a few that were very tough, long yardage situations. But the Bills did a really nice job on third down. And obviously that was Josh Allen using his legs and some really clutch catches. Curtis Samuel made a couple, as you alluded to. Khalil Shakir, as he always does, made a couple. But that was a big reason why. The Bills did not run the ball very well in this game. And, you know, the Chiefs are tough to run against. They're the number two, you know, run-per-play defense in the NFL. Outside of Josh Allen, the Bills ran for less than 3 yards a carry. So it was a grind. They were in a lot of third and sevens and third and eights, but they kept doing it. And then because, like you said, they had to punt a few times. First of all, give credit to Sam Martin, the Bills' punter. He punted three times today, and out of those three punts, the drive starts for the Chiefs were their own 8, their own 14, and their own 20. So the Bills played a field position game, and the Chiefs, as we know, aren't the same team as in years past where they're not getting these explosives. So they made the Chiefs grind for everything they had, and the Bills are a good enough defense where if you're going to have to grind and grind, eventually we'll be able to stop you, and they played that game too.
What stands out about the Bills' defensive performance, considering the game was still hanging in the balance there late, but they were able to turn Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs over?
The pressure that they applied, they did a really nice job. Bobby Babich in his first year as a defensive coordinator, he's done a really great job this year, but he called a great game today. And, you know, yes, it is Sean McDermott's, you know, defense, his philosophy that Bobby works under because he's been with Sean since he got here to Buffalo. Bobby did a great job of dialing up certain pressures and making sure that they moved Mahomes off his spot. The Bills had 7 quarterback hits to go along with 2 interceptions. They sacked him a couple of times. When they played in the playoffs last year, Terrell Bernard didn't play in that game. Terrell Bernard's one of the best middle linebackers in the league. He didn't play. He was hurt. The Bills grabbed AJ Klein literally off a plane that was, he was going on vacation, retired, to come out and play that game. That was a big difference today to have Terrell Bernard healthy. The next time these two teams play, if they do, and we're all anticipating they're going to meet up in the playoffs, the Chiefs will probably have Isaiah Pacheco back. And the Bills are going to have Matt Milano back. I mean, they're still going to be different than they were today.
Sal, this was a debate that we've had on my show a few times going back to the end of last season. Had the Bills not made the playoffs the way that they did, the run that they had at the end of last year, where they ripped off 5 in a row and grabbed the AFC East title, people thought that Sean McDermott was on the hot seat. Safe to say that's not the case anymore, but do you ascribe to that theory?
No, not at all. And I'll tell you why. It goes back to what I said a little bit earlier. And I've had people ask me that as well. If you're on the outside looking in, like, and you see, okay, well, they had this dip in play or they didn't make it to their standard. They haven't made it to a Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills are the second winningest organization in the NFL over the last 5 years. The only team that has more wins is the Kansas City Chiefs. And they have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. The Buffalo Bills have won 4 straight division titles. Now, yes, last year they had to get to the end of the year and squeak it out. And the reason why I say that I've never, ever subscribed to any sort of theory that Sean McDermott was or would be on the hot seat is because they have ownership, GM, and head coach aligned, same philosophy. And you have to remember, here in Buffalo, 17 years of a revolving door of all those types of people not making the playoffs. Nobody wants to go back to that. Terry Pegula and Kim Pegula, they love what they have here in Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott together. Can anything happen? Sure. I mean, it's sports, right? It's results-oriented business. You never know when relationships sour after a while, but right now they have what most organizations covet, and Terry Pegula has no appetite to change that.
debunking the myth that Sean McDermott was ever on the hot seat last year. Of course, it became a moot point when the Bills rattled off 5 wins in a row and won the AFC East in that game. It was week 18, right? That game against the Dolphins that wrapped up the regular season. And now here they are. Whether or not you believe that they're ahead of schedule or this was supposed to be more of a transition year for them, they've won 6 in a row. They're one of the hottest teams in the league. They're definitely the hottest team this side of Detroit, who's got the 8 wins in a row and now have the same number of victories as the Chiefs do with this big win over them. So fantastic game, definitely worth the investment. And we'll see how this sparks the Chiefs, right? Because the last time they lost was Christmas Day against the Raiders. And that was took place in Arrowhead. Remember, they didn't lose again after that abysmal performance against Las Vegas last year. So how does this spark them? Both Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes talking about how this could be a springboard for them. And it's good for the young guys to learn that this is hard. It's hard to win and it doesn't always come easy. At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, you can take our poll for Monday MVP on our Facebook page as well. So good to hang out with you guys on a Monday morning as we start another work week. We're into the second half of November and getting close to Thanksgiving. Holy cow. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Second down, 9. Puka-Nacua has been unstoppable through the air so far, including a touchdown. Blitz coming after Stafford. It's bottled up. He throws middle. Caught by Cooper Kupp at the 50. Breaks the tackle. He coasts in. Touchdown, Cooper Kupp. Touchdown, L.A. 69 yards, his second, to open the third quarter. 9 and dime, break one in New England. And for the Rams, it's a 10-point lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's those back-to-back touchdown drives to start the third quarter for the Rams on the road at Foxborough. And they're able to use those as the springboard to get a victory and beat the New England Patriots. So Rams back to 5-5. The 69-yarder for Cooper Kupp may have been one of the easiest touchdown runs, well, catch and runs, of his entire career. He got behind the defense. There was a huge mistake by that Patriots D, and he's able to go 50 yards at, I wouldn't say half speed, but not even full speed with no one anywhere near him. JB Long with the call on Rams radio. There was a fourth touchdown pass for Stafford in this game, and it went to the, I would say, the little used Colby Parkinson, and it was the 370th of Stafford's career, which puts him now in the top 10 among NFL QBs all time. New England actually had some really nice moments in this game. Drake May, you can see him taking steps forward, both mentally and physically. It's definitely going to come together for him. And they're early in a rebuild process. So all the reps they get for him at the speed of the NFL is huge. But he found Kendrick Bourne for his first touchdown in the first quarter. There was a fumble on a sack that led to a touchdown for the Rams. So it's kind of one step forward, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. But I know New England fans are thrilled about Drake May, as tough as it is to begin with a rebuild. There are a couple of turnovers in there and holding the ball for an extra 14 minutes, but the Rams were able to strike quickly. So for Matthew Stafford, he passes Eli Manning on the NFL's all-time touchdown list.
It's humbling. It is every week. Obviously, if something happens, it's a really cool thing to be a part of. I love this game, love the history of it. Have so much appreciation for the guys that came before me and really the guys that are coming after me. So, you know, just a humbling thing.
As for Cooper Kupp, Puka-Nacua, the different guys that Matthew Stafford has around him, when they're healthy, they are a formidable offense. He can still deliver the ball any way that is necessary. And you see him, just the way that he chucks the ball around, a really nice day, nearly 300 yards, 4 touchdowns for him. Not quite a perfect passer rating, but close enough. Kyren Williams, he's been a great revelation for them now in year 3. So they were over 100 yards rushing too. And so the Rams, Well, they've had a couple of losses that they definitely would like back. I'll say the same thing about them that I said about the Niners. They're at 5-5, and despite all of the various injuries they've absorbed and have had to live through, they've won 4 of their last 5 games, the only loss coming against the Dolphins in week number 10. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of those Dolphins, so we had just talked about this with a Miami Herald columnist. And he said after the Dolphins finally got off the schneid following Tua's return and were able to pick up that victory against the Rams, what did he say? The locker room is thrilled. They feel like there is hope because all of the pieces in place and because the AFC leaves the door wide open when it comes to wild cards. There's so many teams that are below 500 kind of grouped together. And I was asking the question, well, does that apply to New England? Because they were sitting on the same number of wins. So now the Patriots fall to 3-8. The Dolphins, though, have back-to-back victories. This one at home on Sunday against the Raiders. And yeah, Miami is able to control the ball. They put together extended drives. Like, for instance, right out of the gate, it's an 8-plus-minute drive where Tua connects with Jonnu Smith for really a touchdown, but also a tone setter for the offense. The second touchdown, that's early in the third quarter. It's another 8 minutes for 97 yards, and it ends with Tyreek Hill in the end zone. So what I see with them is just now their ability to control games where they couldn't without Tua. And even early when he returned, of course, there's that need to find the rhythm again with his top receivers like Tyreek Hill, who now has touchdowns in back-to-back games, as well as guys like Jaylen Waddle and Jonnu Smith, who's turning into a weapon again.
Second and 11 for Miami from their own 43-yard line, nursing a 5-point lead here in the fourth quarter with 3:28 left to play. Durham Smythe in motion across the formation, back to throw Tua. Getting pressure, gets it off downfield, and he's got a wide open Smith at the 30, at the 20. It's a full reach to the end zone.
He got touchdown.
Touchdown.
That's the call on the Dolphins radio network. Yeah, they were able to hold the ball for long chunks of time, which of course puts pressure on the defense for the other team and kind of wears them out. And Mike McDaniel likes what he sees.
I think last year we might have had 3 drives that were 14 plus plays on the entire year. So it had been a focus of ours in anticipation how guys were going to defend us.
Coming back, it's more so how can we get back into our rhythm as an offense, finding that rhythm, whether it's in the run game, the action game, the pass game, whatever that looks like, and just protecting the ball, like, you know, not trying to force things if it's not there.
So if you look at the numbers, and numbers don't tell the whole story, but the productivity is there again. 3 of 4 in the red zone for the Dolphins, 10 of 14 on 3rd and 4th down. That's dangerous. And then Tua ends up with the 3 touchdown passes, nearly 300 yards. So the Dolphins have won back-to-back games. They're at 4-6. I know we're only through week 11, but because of the nature of the AFC, actually both conferences, they're top heavy. And the teams at the bottom, like the Raiders, like the Jaguars, it's messy down there. But if you're in the middle and you've got 4 wins, 5 wins, 6 wins, oh, you're very much in the mix. That's not the Raiders. They've lost 6 in a row. Gardner Minshew with his 13th turnover in this game. It's a disaster. A lot of it has to do with the quarterback, but not all of it. Antonio Pierce, just the facial expressions, the body language on the sidelines.
I think we had 2 third-down penalties where we probably had an opportunity to get off the field that led to scoring drives as well. And then miscommunication, obviously, on the deep ball.
So doesn't like the mistakes on defense. I'm kind of wondering what happens with the Raiders in the offseason. I mean, Tom Brady's now a part owner, a minority owner, I should say. He can be involved in decision-making if that's what Mark Davis wants. I know that Antonio Pierce gets the guys to play for him, but it's not been a super patient team when it comes to coaches and coaching changes. And I don't know, between that and potentially hearing something from the Jaguars today, despite Shad Khan saying Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke had a vote of confidence, we'll see if there's another team, another franchise that jumps the gun and fires a coach before the season is done. All right, straight ahead, Jets already fired their coach. They've got Jeff Ulbrich. I do not understand for the life of me why you would go through this experiment again after 23-24 and a disaster. And yet there are still people talking about Aaron Rodgers playing another year and if that's a smart idea for the Jets. I can't think of one legit reason to run it back. And we'll talk about their latest mess. We'll call it that. But good for Anthony Richardson and the Colts, to be sure. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by PXG. Staying long and straight on the golf course is easier than ever with PXG clubs. Take your game to a whole new level and save $10 per club at pxg.com/football and use code football. We kick off with Sunday Night Football. J.K. Dobbins scored his second touchdown of the game, a 29-yard run with 18 seconds to go to give the Chargers the lead. The Bengals would get a shot at a Hail Mary.
Burrow taps his helmet, takes the snap. They bring an extra body to rush. He throws to the end zone. It's in the air, and it is incomplete. Chargers win. The Chargers win. 34-27. Derwin knocks it down.
That was Matt Smith with the call on Chargers radio. Chargers beat the Bengals 34-27. Now to Santa Clara. The Seahawks trail the Niners 17-13 late in the fourth quarter.
Geno gets him back to the line of scrimmage, 22-21, gets the snap, looks, steps up, gonna run, 10-5, Geno, touchdown, Seahawks, holy catfish.
That was with 12 seconds to go in the fourth. Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio, and the Seahawks beat the Niners 20-17. Elsewhere, the Bills hand the Chiefs their first loss of the season as the Bills beat the Chiefs 30-21. The Bills are 9-2, the Chiefs 9-1. Elsewhere, Broncos 38, Falcons 6, Colts over the Jets 28-27, Vikings 23, Titans 13, the Steelers beat the Ravens 18-16, Saints 35, Browns 14, Rams over the Patriots 28-22, Dolphins 34, Raiders 19, Lions over the Jaguars 52-6, and the Packers beat the Bears 20-19. NBA, the Cavaliers beat the Hornets 128-114 as the Cavaliers improved to 15-0. NHL, the Capitals over the Golden Knights 5-2, a hat trick for Alex Ovechkin. He now has 866 career goals, needs 29 to break Wayne Gretzky's record of 894. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on X. Our handle is INF Sports Network. That's INF Sports Network on X. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you missed any of our highlights, post-game reaction, my reaction to games in week 11. That includes Sunday Night Football between the Chargers and the Bengals. And LA had a 21-point lead, managed to cough it up, literally, in the late stages. Bengals came back to tie, and then each team had multiple chances to win until finally the Chargers decided, we'll do it. Okay, just we'll go ahead and win this game. I want you to want to win the game. Chargers end up with their seventh win of the season, actually, on a late J.K. Dobbins touchdown, and that means they're only two games back of the Chiefs in the AFC West. Our podcast will have all 4 hours, mostly commercial-free, so you can listen to them in a condensed version, and that's available every weekday morning as soon as we are done here with the show. Why are you making that face at me?
Mostly commercial, all commercial-free.
Oh, I thought there were a few ads that were thrown into the podcast.
Sorry, I take that back. You're right.
Okay. I mean, every now and then a blind squirrel finds a nut. So there are a couple of commercial breaks, but for the most part, they're a lot quicker listen if you want to listen on demand on your own time. And you can find those links on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Also asking you to vote for Monday MVP, and that poll will run throughout the day today. And then on our Facebook page. By the way, I was really excited to find out. I mean, every single one of the days on our calendar has some special designation now, and I can't keep up with all of them. But did you know that Sunday was National Hiking Day? So happy National Hiking Day to you. I did share a few photos of our most recent mountain climbing excursion. So I will retweet just because I love to hike. We love to hike, and I don't necessarily do it. Well, I would do it when the snow is on the ground. I'm not sure my better half would do it when the snow is on the ground. So we did a few mountains a couple of weeks ago, and that was when we stayed out in a tent, went glamping and didn't have heat, and had to use the toaster oven for our s'mores because there was a burn ban. We do not need any more forest fires. So anyway, there's a few pictures up at ALOL Radio. Vote for Monday MVP while you're there. All right, let's get to the last game, the last one that we haven't yet talked about on this edition of the show. And this is Colts and Jets. And you can watch the Jets and understand that they are not a team that is cohesive, that is on the same page, that really is built to win. And then you can look at the score, as some people didn't. What do you mean? They only lost by a point, or there's nothing wrong with Aaron Rodgers. They scored 27 points. Oh, no. You need to watch the Jets, and you understand how disjointed and discombobulated and how inconsistent they are. All of these things that they were hoping would go away when Aaron Rodgers, future Hall of Fame quarterback, took over. And I know they had to wait last year because he got injured, but is it possible that his best days are behind him? Or maybe it's just possible he cast too large of a shadow and his personality doesn't fit with the Jets locker room. Those things need to be considered before they would potentially bring him back for another year. Now, as for the Colts, they're still trying to figure out what they have with Anthony Richardson. I do think it's the smart move to have him start the rest of the way. I know they have Joe Flacco, but what you need is to figure out if Richardson is your franchise QB. And he led the Colts to a 13-0 lead in this game. He had a 2-yard rush into the end zone through contact. Meanwhile, the Jets are going 3 and out. They finally go for it on fourth down. It's a failed 4th and 2 until late in the second quarter. And there are talented players on their team. There really are. Breece Hall is one of them. And Rodgers is able to find him for a 29-yard touchdown before half. And so New York takes a 1-point lead after an Anthony Richardson sack and fumble. And yeah, sometimes you get those moments with the other A-Rod. Isn't that funny? This was a battle featuring two quarterbacks who have A-Rod as their nicknames, which I thought was interesting. I actually wrote down on my notes A-Rod, and then it popped into my head, oh no, the other one. And I wrote that down too, just for fun. The second Breece Hall touchdown is an 18-yard rush, and the Jets actually have the lead, which is where I got some flack on social media. Like, what do you mean? The Jets are great. They're about to win. La, 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 la. And early in the fourth quarter, New York actually adds to that lead. They've got an 8-point cushion, with another touchdown. This one's a pass by Aaron Rodgers. But the other A-Rod, he locks in, and there are times where he looks like he can make any throw. He's accurate. We know he's got a cannon for an arm. Obviously, he's a brute, and that's a compliment. He's got brute force strength. And so he goes no huddle. They get a couple of first downs and some momentum on a drive, and he finds Josh Downs for a 10-yard touchdown. Now then, the Jets, they use the next 7.5 minutes off the clock, but they only end up with a field goal. And again, this is where just it comes back to bite you in the ass, that you don't have consistency, and certainly not what you were expecting with a Hall of Fame QB. But I like how Anthony Richardson grows up in this moment. Under 3 minutes left on the clock for Indy, and Anthony hits Alec Pierce for a 39-yard score, and they're able to get to the point where they're in the red zone and they can work the clock.
Third down, this is big.
This is zero blitz time right here. They're going to bring the house. If you can rub one into flat, you're going to be there.
Richardson out of the gun. He's going to take it off left edge. He's at the five, cuts into the end zone.
Pulls
his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Anthony Richardson. His second rushing touchdown today. And the Colts, with the score right there, lead 28-27 with 46 seconds to go.
Oh, man, what a big moment for the young quarterback. So, yeah, he ends up with 304 total yards, three touchdowns, and as you hear on Colts radio, a huge moment where maybe, just maybe, he grows up a little bit and the Colts think about what could be if he gets more reps and gets more time on the field where he gets more comfortable. And yeah, we don't have to let you hear the last chance for the Jets, but it just kind of underscores all the issues.
Rodgers, shotgun. Four receivers. Takes the snap, drops back. Steps up, looks over the middle. And he's going to be sacked! And that should end the game. Quiddy Pay brings him down. 3 seconds to go. 2-1-0. Heartbreak. The Colts will win it. The final here at MetLife Stadium. 28-27. Indianapolis comes from behind.
Outstanding, baby. Great job, baby.
And they beat the Jets.
That's Bob Wischusen on Jets Radio, and he calls it heartbreak, and maybe it is, but I'm kind of wondering, if you're watching this Jets team all season, doesn't this seem more like the pattern as opposed to a stunner and a shock and a surprise? This is the pattern. Someone actually asked Aaron Rodgers how he's going to stay motivated for the rest of the season now that the Jets are, 3-8?
I'm in my 20th year, so I've figured out a way to do this for a long time. So I just got to remember why you fell in love with this game. This will be definitely a week to clear all of our heads and come back and stick together.
He just told us a couple weeks ago they had to embrace the darkness, and now they have to clear their heads and stick together, which to me is more what a leader should say. I know there's still a long way to go, and I suppose they could rattle off a bunch of wins, but it doesn't even seem like they have the spirit or the energy to be able to get out there and change what's happening. And I put this out on social on Sunday, and I got a massive response to it. Some agree, some disagree, whatever. But I can't think of one legit argument for keeping Aaron Rodgers as the Jets quarterback next season. I know he says he wants to play again. He's also indicated he wants to play for Jeff Ulbrich. Who even knows if Jeff keeps the coaching job? Not if they don't pick up any wins the rest of the way. He's not going to keep the head coaching job. So unless something changes pronto, the franchise will have wasted 2 years on this miserable experiment. And I'm not saying it's all at Aaron Rodgers' feet. It isn't. But they changed the entire organization, bring in the pieces that would make him happy, make him comfortable, essentially recreate Aaron's kingdom in New York, and it's not working. It hasn't worked. Maybe it would have worked last season if he was on the field longer than four plays, but you can't go back and change history. So now they run it back for 2024, and it is miserable. It's miserable. They all look miserable, including Aaron Rodgers. So why would you consider doing it again? That's the part that I don't understand. Sometimes you have to cut your losses. And I know Browns fans feel the same way. Now, theirs is more about the money. It's more about the fact that they locked into Deshaun Watson to this guaranteed contract. And what are you going to do? But you know what? The Broncos decided they were getting out. They got out with Russell Wilson. And they're actually paying a good portion of his contract with the Steelers. They decided whatever it costs us, we're getting out. So I wonder what's going to happen with some of these franchises. You're going down the wrong path. The street version of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That's where the Jets are stuck right now. We'll talk about it more tonight following MNF. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!